Thank you for inviting me, Martin, and everybody for attending. So they say beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and I believe that this structure here, this point about, is the most beautifully elegant and powerful structure in the biological world. This is the chemical synapse of the central nervous system where chemistry gets converted into electricity. And as the name suggests, coming from the Greek, syn meaning together and hapti meaning to clasp, where two neurons connect and communicate. So why is my lab interested in understanding the molecular mechanisms controlling synaptic function? Well, apart from being the nuts and bolts that are holding neurons together, we now know that control of synaptic function also controls the way the brain is wired. This is interesting for understanding how the brain develops, but also for understanding what goes on in disease. We know there's two specific diseases, to name only two, autism and epilepsy, where there are defects in synaptic function. In autism, we have defects in synaptic function which lead to defects in the way the brain is wired. And in epilepsy, we have defects where we get a huge discharge of synaptic activity leading to disruption in certain regions of the brain. So what does the chemical synapse look like and how does it function? Well, I don't have time to tell you everything about how it functions, but I just want you to focus on neurotransmitters are the chemicals that are released and are received by neurotransmitter receptors in the postsynaptic membrane. Electricity causes the release of the neurotransmitter, the chemical, and the chemical is converted back into electricity by these functional units, the receptors, which are ion channels which mediate the flux of ions across the plasma membrane. And it's the change in voltage caused by this movement of ions that changes things back into electricity and the propagation of the signal down the neuronal array. So chemical synapses come in two flavors. We have excitatory synapses shown on the left here, which release glutamate. They bind to glutamate receptors, which come in different flavors. They mediate the transport of positively charged ions, sodium and calcium, which lead to depolarization of the postsynaptic membrane, which propagates the continuation of the action potential, the signal down the array of neurons. And we have inhibitory synapses on the right here, which have different types of neurotransmitters, glycine and GABA, which bind their cognitive receptors, the GABA-A receptor and the glycine receptor. These are integral membrane ion channels that mediate the flux of chloride, which is a negatively charged ion, and these lead to hyperpolarization of the membrane, and that leads to a likelihood and reduction of the action potential. If we look at a single neuron, it gets even more complicated. As shown here, we have a motor neuron in the spinal cord where we have, on average, approximately 50,000 synapses. Clearly, important questions there. How does one neuron know where to put anything or how to connect anything? And clearly, that's a huge amount of research to be done, and we're just starting to try to understand that. Other questions. A particular focus of the lab is we're interested in inhibitory synapses and in what controls the function of the GABA-A receptor synapse, how it's clustered at the synapse, what controls its movement in and out of the synapse, and also, most interesting function of the GABA receptor is that it's only inhibitory in the adult central nervous system. In the embryo, it works as an excitatory synapse, and this is due to two principles. One, the ion channel cannot control the flux of chloride in embryos. Chloride is high inside the cell, so chloride moves out and leads to depolarization. The shift during development to the adult is due to KCC2, which is a potassium chloride co-transporter. And just to summarize that, the expression of KCC2 is low in immature neurons, high in mature neurons, and we also get a shift in the number of synapses as well as the function of the receptor associated with these synapses. And just finally, I just wanted to say, what do we actually study in regards to KCC2? We're particularly interested in understanding its life cycle in the neuron, how it moves, how its cellular trafficking is controlled, and particularly because in disease we get a reduction of cases who do back to the embryonic state, and we obviously know from the previous slide that would lead to being not inhibitory neurotransmission any longer, but promoting excitatory. The recycling in the normal is occurring in the epilepsy, we get to the lysosome. Finally, what do? We do biochemistry to look at protein interactions, and here we have what controls the movement from the membrane in, and we use fluorescent microscopy to look where the internalized transport has gone. Okay, thank you very much for your attention. Thank you.